experience putting together a defense absent Nick Bosa. We'll see what it looks like. It's a huge loss. Like, there's no other way around it. Like, you just don't, you don't replace those guys. You might be able to replace them for a couple series here and there, maybe get through it with a game. But, like, a month, 2 months, you're going to feel that absence. Like, I'm starting to feel the Kittle absence, aren't you?
No, absolutely. And I love what, you know, Ton just has done. You know, Luke Farrell and
They've been admirable,
but they're not the pass catcher that George Kittle is. They don't have the speed and the burst like that guy has. I mean, you saw Trey McBride on the other side. Like, that is what you're missing. Yeah. That guy.
Well, and there is something to be said, like, you know, when you think a guy's out for a couple weeks, the team can kind of, like, galvanize and come together because they know that one of their dudes is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the way Cincinnati played yesterday, and, like, that looked like a team that knew they're done.
You're telling me I have T. Higgins, the guy with, like, 2 points in fantasy. I was just like, oh, I'm cooked. I thought Jake Browning was going to be that dude. I was like, oh, God. Again, a battle of backups. Again, as we're talking about it, having a good backup quarterback matters.
I thought T. Higgins was going to be that dude.
Well, with Jake Browning, I thought he was going to be like, because in the past, it was the T. Higgins show and Jake Browning was the quarterback, not Ja'Marr Chase. And now it just looks like,
you know what they
diddly
need?
Poo.
They need Brandon Allen, who originally backed up Joe Burrow.
The standard is the standard.
They know they want Mac Jones right now. Mac Jones stock sky high right now as these teams are floundering with backup quarterbacks. As you're listening to 95% of the game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app, coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Ricky Pearsall wears the bandana, and I want someone to ask him a question directly. Is the bandana more for aura? Or is it to keep your forehead from getting all super sweaty and nasty? Because when I would wear like a catcher's mask and whatnot, I would always try to wipe the face mask because it gets really bad. And you get like, you know, your skin on your chin and on your forehead would get, for lack of a better term, you get a lot of acne and stuff like that because of the sweat and the dirt.
I'm assuming it's for the sweat because the guy's got a lot of lettuce. He's got a thick head of hair.
Yeah, he does.
But talking about swag and aura, that is what Ricky Pearsall is right now. The tattoos, the style.
Oh, I like the way he wears the wristbands and the gloves. Like, the whole look is, it's a look.
Hey, he's cool, man. Ricky's cool. They called him Slick Rick for a reason. A
lot of number one jerseys out there,
too. A lot of them.
A lot of them.
Him and Kendrick Bourne's handshake is really quite something, too.
Oh, they have one?
Really? It's quite something.
Well, okay. To explain.
Well, he can't really, can you?
I don't think he'd go over the radio very well.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't really describe it. Well, he does, they do backflips and they do some back taps. I don't know. But this is what Ricky Pearsall had to say yesterday about just how much fun he's having.
I have fun every day, especially when KB's out there with me. We're constantly dancing. But yeah, no, I'm having a great time. You know, I'm super blessed, super happy to be in the situation I am, you know, especially, you know, considering the situation, you know, what I had to go through last year, being able to, you know, wake up every day and, you know, just be thankful the day that is to come, and, you know, being able to get in this locker room with these guys like them, and, you know, and being around great coaches, it's, you know, there's a lot of things to be happy and excited about each and every day. And I wake up and I just remind myself that every single day, because, you know, there's a lot to be thankful for.
That's twice now where, you know, Mac Jones and then Ricky Pearsall, like, giggling like little school children, like, in their press conference. I love it. They're having fun like they are in school.
That was not Ricky Pearsall. That was Richard Pearsall. That's like Phil Mike when he's like,
Richard Pearsall.
Like, that was not Ricky Pearsall. That did not sound like who I thought it sounded like.
Well, we'll listen to another one.
Give me
one.
Just the first couple lines.
Oh, okay, here we go.
I have fun every day, especially when KB's out there with me. We're constantly dancing.
That's Ricky saying.
That's him on the interview.
And this was Mac Jones with the giggle. So you're giggling like school children. Mac Jones on the interception and when he threw it right to the guy.
I threw it right to the guy, so it wasn't like he made a good play. I mean, good for him. He caught it. Like, awesome.
No, but the best part of that.
They both sound like they were in Carter's suite yesterday.
But no one else laughed. No one else laughed in the locker room or the media room or whatever.
What are you laughing at, Joe?
Yeah, what are you laughing at, John Gambo? Or we're laughing at the Arizona Cardinals. Tough loss for them. Yikes. There you go. Gambo kind of trying to troll us last week, saying, you know, the light's a little bit too bright. Gambo, I didn't really notice a tan on you either, by the way, buddy. All right? Just calm down a little bit. He had some sort of a background in his
I got some tan
in his YouTube.
This is where my wristwatch would be.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah,
okay.
I got a good
with the
good
SPF.
Yeah, I got
you're
a
getting
good.
There. I know LJ was so cute, little cheeks a little flushed yesterday.
Yeah, it was pretty red. It was pretty red yesterday.
Is Michelle upset?
Well, I told Michelle, I go, Michelle, it says, you know, she's like, it says 75 in San Jose. I go, Michelle, I am telling you, whatever that app says, add 10 to 15 degrees on it. She's like, nah. So, of course, we pull up. I got the AC blasting. It's like 73 degrees outside on the hood. And I'm like, I guarantee it's not. I open it up. I walk to the porta potty because of the long drive from the city. And I just start sweating. I come back and she goes, yeah, no sweatshirts. I'm like, yeah, you think? It's t-shirt weather.
Dude.
It was hot.
Niners are hot right now. They're 3-0. I'm feeling great about this team. And, you know, I'm paying off this tease finally because I teased it earlier. Can you guess what team right now has the best odds to claim the NFC's number one overall seed?
Eagles.
They're number two at plus 370.
Really?
Yep.
Surprising.
Can you guess? Come on.
Niners.
Oh, well, yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm going with the 3-0 teams. There's only so many of them.
I thought you were going to go maybe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who obviously had a big one yesterday. But it is the San Francisco 49ers with currently the best odds to claim the number one overall seed of the NFC at plus 340. Now, again, that's not to say that they have the best. Like, they're going to win the NFC in entirety and go to the Super Bowl, because if you do go there to, like, who's going to win the conference, I think the Eagles are still the favorite. But that just goes to show Vegas likes their odds because of the schedule, and it's favorable more for them going forward. Now, again, like, I know we don't like to play the schedule game. It's early. They're 3-0. Take what you can get. You know, they've only had a margin of victory of combined 10 points within these first three games, so they've been tight every single one of them. But Vegas likes the Niners to get the number one overall seed. It's early. It's early, but you got to be feeling good if you're waking up this morning, if you're a San Francisco 49ers fan. All the adversity they've fought through. Don't have Brock Purdy these last 2 weeks, you're 2-0. Don't have George Kittle these last few weeks, 2-0. Don't have Juwan Jennings yesterday, number one wide receiver last year. Doesn't matter. We have Ricky Pearsall. He's our number one right now. Obviously don't have Brandon Ayuk at all to start this season. You lost Nick Bosa, your best player on that defensive line, early in this game with a minute to go in the first quarter. Michael Williams steps up. Bryce Huff, he's flying all over the place. I didn't know he was this fast. No, seriously. Bryce Huff, I don't think we talked about him enough today, Joe. The guy flies when you just see him on the television screen.
He's thicker than what Dee Ford was, but similar to him, his burst off the snap on the line, like, he bends around that edge. He is a perfect complement opposite the power rusher of Nick Bosa, because they need that pure speed guy. Here's the only thing that I was a little alarming yesterday was
two QB hits for him, by the way.
Did he have? Yeah. Okay. He also snuffed out a couple of screens where he just kind of got in the way. Kyler running is just such a problem, and I was really worried after the first couple of drives, because they had basically 22 plays to 6 to start the game, Arizona to the Niners offensive plays, and then they like slowed him down. They didn't go straight up QB spy with their linebackers, but the edges, setting the edge and staying in contain, was extremely important yesterday, and I thought they did a really good job of that. But it's tough for me to know how much of it was like, hey, James Conner getting hurt and kind of changed up their game. And they had a guy that had never even touched the ball that they were talking about in the second half, who was getting passes and carries. And so, hey, we'll take it, man. It don't matter who's out there. We got a bunch of guys that were backups and guys that were practice squad players, and we're out there winning. So that's just the league right now.
Well, no, I thought it was still a good adjustment, and it might have been obviously harder on the Arizona side, but I still think it was a good adjustment from the defense of the Niners, because Trey Benson, he's faster than James Conner. So there is an element there where you weren't expecting this guy, and it could sneak up on a team, and you saw it. He had that long run, what is it, of 29 yards. I was like, oh, God, he's showing some burst here.
Yeah,
like, he's got legit
Siegel
speed.
Just totally whiffed on
totally
that tackle.
Whiffed. And we're talking about Bryce Huff right now. He did have the team's only sack yesterday as well. Two quarterback hits, a pass deflected. And there's a lot of passes deflected yesterday. You're talking about Kyler Murray. Size matters, folks. Five passes deflected yesterday for the 49ers.
Wow.
Five of them.
More than I thought.
Two from Fred, one from D, one from Upton Stout, one from Bryce Huff as well. So five in total.
The Stout one was interesting. That was a play. He showed blitz early, and I was like, oh, don't show it so quick. And then they tried to, like, throw the quick screen And that was the one where D'Amador came flying up. Like, they're using Stout in a variety of ways. Those guys are going to keep getting tested. Chase Lucas went out there, and they tested him.
Yep.
After, I think it was Renardo Green fell on the ground after the tackle over the middle of the field. He got, you know, taken off the field.
And then we've mentioned him all morning, and this is the guy I keep watching pop each and every week. That gives me so much confidence in the 49ers defense just getting better and better. It's because Fred Warner has his new running mate. This guy's going to be sticking around. He's a player. D winners. Like, this guy, he's just scratching the surface. You don't believe me? Well, believe in Fred Warner.
Yeah, it's so fun. You know, I'm so happy for D. And, again, the work that he's put in to be ready for his moment in these first three games. And he's just scratching the surface of what he's capable of doing, right? Like, he's got that big playability in his body, you know, to make the interceptions and force fumbles and sacks and all these other things that we're going to see as the weeks go on. And, you know, just to see a player who plays with as much speed, violence, coming down the flat, making these big tackles, bro, it's unbelievable to see. So we're going to need him to continue to just get better every week.
And that was Fred Warner, obviously, after the game yesterday. He's got his new running mate. As Dre Greenlaw is struggling to get on the field in Denver, it's hard not to think that the 49ers already made the right decision sticking with D winners. Obviously, the Devondre Campbell mess that was last year. Guy quit on the team. Stinks. Again, I keep bringing up that game last year at Levi Stadium. Like, it was just night and day compared to last year yesterday, Joe. First and foremost, they thought this through. They saw, before the season even started, hey, September game against the Cardinals at home, it might be a little toasty. So you know what? Let's wear the whites. And it proved to be the great, you know, move from them. It was a chess move, if you will. They were thinking ahead. I know everyone's stopping at it.
I have no problem with the all whites, but next week they're going to be wearing the white with the gold bottoms.
Oh, yeah.
That's a no-no for
me. They should have just done the all whites back-to-back weeks. Why? Like, why not just do that?
I don't get it, because I think you're only allowed so many throwback designations.
Why?
I think it's foolish. I don't know. And also their helmet was a throwback helmet, the 94. That's the logo we should roll with. The black with no gold.
It's kind of ridiculous. I get it. It's because there's a scarcity. No, I know what you're talking about. There's a scarce amount of games in this league compared to others. But aren't, like, the baseball teams, they can pick any uniforms they want. Like, if they're rolling, they'll stick with what they got.
You have to designate in April. That's what they said with Kyle Shanahan last week. You have to designate in April what colors you want to wear. And, you know, this is why the Miami Dolphins, for the most part, wear all white at home.
Let's dive into a conversation that we kind of touched on in the start of the show on the other side, Joe, as we're going to hit a break here. Christian McCaffrey. I mean, this guy's on pace for 400-plus touches. Does anyone even care about that at this point? The guy's been their basically best receiver outside of Ricky Pearsall. Yeah, the explosiveness might not be there all the time, but when you need it, it was yesterday, and he showed out. Let's touch more on Christian McCaffrey, because I think he's flying under the radar today as the 49ers 3-0, no guests. This show has flown by. No guests. Speak now, forever hold your peace. One more segment to go before handing off to Steiny and Goo. 888-957-9570. It's Spadoni and Chasky. It's the Morning Roast rolling, baby, on a Victory Monday.
I can't put my finger on it. There's like a 2019 Warrior-like vibe on that team.
Oh, so they'll get to the promised land, but
lose?
Well,
no, they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're an awesome team, but they're a little... Something's off. I don't know what. I don't know if it's Jalen. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
Are you referring to the fact that they got the blocked field goal?
No.
And got the touchdown? Jalen wasn't celebrating
at all? I think A.J. Brown is really difficult to live with. That's what I think. Oh. And I think he's miserable.
Well, he was complaining in the Super Bowl last year when they were winning in a blowout. Like, he's just never happy. But that's
my point.
That's wide receiver culture in general. But the good ones separate themselves from that. We talked about why Jerry was Jerry. And like Fitzgerald, Larry Fitzgerald heading into this one. Like, those guys separate themselves because of they're just good people and they're just good teammates to have and be around.
There's this misnomer that T.O. was, like, you know, throwing pouts on the sidelines. Yeah, he had moments, but he never, like, took it out onto the field. He would always block really well. He'd run all his routes really well. Like, I just watch A.J. Brown, and he's like Linus. He's just got this, like dark cloud around him at all times. He's awesome. He's an awesome player. But it's like, if I'm not getting fed 15 times a game, even if we're up three scores, I'm mad. And I think he's really tough to live with.
Niner fans, where were you at? 3-0 on the season, 16-15 the final yesterday. As Chasky just alluded to, the Rams no longer undefeated. The Cardinals no longer undefeated. The solo undefeated team in the NFC West is the San Francisco 49ers, and they've done it without Brock Purdy. They've done it without George Kittle. They did it without Juwan Jennings yesterday, and for three quarters did it without Nick Bosa. We are awaiting the news on Nick Bosa. What is going on there? In the meantime, hey, Giants fans, everything sucks, but it's okay because Joe Shasky is back on Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys. All it took was the arrival of Bryce Eldridge. Catch the latest episode where Shasky and Sam Lubman react to Bryce's debut, the end of the Giants' playoff hopes, and finally, a farewell to Clayton Kershaw. Subscribe and listen today wherever you listen to podcasts as the Giants fell 3 games out of 4 yesterday, but salvaged the series yesterday with a win. Bryce Eldridge had a bases-clearing double I saw over the weekend. Yay.
Yeah, it was a beautiful swing.
It was nice. It was good.
Give me 30 seconds on Giants-Dodgers over the weekend.
30 seconds. Starts
first,
now.
First, boom. Bryce Eldridge needs to play every day the rest of the way, period. I don't care what happens. He needs to play every single day. Rafi Devers is the best left-handed hitter they've had since Bonds. If this is a down year, we are, wow, what a great trade. Last, I hate his guts. And he's not this player in this sport because he didn't start here because he came from overseas and whatnot. In terms of being built in a lab, Shohei Ohtani is as close in his sport to LeBron James in terms of the body looks unlike anything I've ever seen. And in his ability where he has almost no weakness on the field, like he's built in a lab. Now, Aaron Judge, you would say, Joe, Aaron Judge is, look, no doubt, there's no doubt. But this is like the duality of being able to do everything that on pitching and hitting. And Shohei Ohtani owns the Giants. I hate his guts. But he's also one of the most remarkable athletes I've ever seen in my life. Now, will he be able to put together a resume long enough to be considered one of the greatest players in the history of the game? Like, that's a different story. We're only, like, 6 years in. Like, to play as long as Willie and Musial and all these, like, those guys played 15, 20 years at an excellent level for so, so long. But in terms of looking like he was generated in the lab, Shohei Ohtani is on a short list of athletes that, I mean, he's remarkable.
And thus
I hate him.
Thus concludes Giants-Dodgers talk for the day as the Giants are...
Stop pitching them!
3 games back of the third wild card spot, but the Cincinnati Reds are above them. They're actually taking over for the Mets because they have the tiebreak over them at 80-76. They've won 5 in a row. So now all of a sudden the Mets, they might be finally, as we've all been watching them tank here, they might finally be cooked as the Reds are. Yep.
They were up 4-0 before that game started, the Giants. And then they were down 7-4 within the blink of an eye.
There you go.
And it was like, game over.
And no one watched their win yesterday. So there you go, because it was at the same time as the 49ers who got their win yesterday. And we're talking about it all. And you know what? This guy usually talks Giants. Maybe we'll touch on him. But he wants to talk Mac Jones right now instead. That's Richie in Queens.
Oh, what's up, Rich? Richie?
Hey, boys.
What's up, dog?
Yeah, I did speak to you about I felt that Jones was going to be good and, you know, not great. Wasn't great yesterday, but, you know, he's kind of a game manager. You know, with the Giants, I heard you talk about them real quick. Yeah, they're pretty much done. The big talk here in New York is how the Mets have collapsed. This is monumental what's happened with them, along with the Detroit Tigers and Houston Astros and how the Guardians came back. And we had the opportunity, we just didn't do it. So we're still mathematically in it, but I don't see it. We'd have to win every game. We don't have tiebreakers. Is Bob Melvin back on the hot seat again, possibly? So no. On to football. Did you guys watch the game last night, the national game?
Oh, I watched Russ.
You know what's funny, Richie? I'm glad you brought that up because the first time in a long time. I looked at a primetime game and saw the Kansas City Chiefs, did not care.
Was it like, because of the Giants?
I think that was part of it, but also because I hate watching the Kansas City Chiefs on TV. That like their whole style is just so boring. I don't know what it is. Like I'm literally, it's like watching paint dry for me. I hate watching the Kansas City Chiefs, Rich.
Yeah, I agree with you, but he made one of the greatest plays I've ever seen. When he took that ball away from Okery, think about that, guys. That's a Derek Jeter play with the flip. You know, where did he come from to go down and take it away from a 240-pound linebacker? I mean, there's no quarterback that would do it. He has just really been elite. He's not the – I mean, when you look at him, you know, you got to put him in the top five, obviously. I think at times his arm strength is – is not what it was. I think, you know, he's 30 years old now. But he's a winner. And that was such a big play because that was a big 9-point swing. they wound up getting 3 points, and the Giants could have had six. So, and as far as the Niners go, I just think each game is so important. I mean, McCaffrey looks good again. I think Bosa's okay, right? He kind of...
We'll see. We don't know. Yeah, we don't know, Rich.
Thanks,
thanks for the call. By the way, the Mets are bad.
I hate Patrick Mahomes.
The Giants are bad. The Jets are bad. Like, the only thing they got right now is the Yanks.
Aaron Glenn. Okay.
What about Aaron Glenn?
The dance.
What did he do? He danced?
You didn't see him dancing on the sidelines?
No, I saw them, like, sad after they lost that game.
He was, like doing some high-knee dance on the sideline, going up and down the sideline. You haven't seen that yet?
Oh, hold on. I'm pulling it up right now.
And then I flip open the phone at one of the breaks while I'm at the game. I'm like, they lost? The way Aaron Glenn was dancing, I thought the game was over.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, he's doing like the March step. Say, hey, he's having a good time out there. Can you imagine Shanahan being excited like that, dancing on the sideline? Never in his life. A tough
Shanahan
loss
could
there.
Win the Super Bowl and still be miserable.
Oh, my. That bothers me.
Oh, stop. He was having a great time at the Super Bowl just a couple years ago during that press row, right? He was having a great time.
Say he didn't enjoy himself at the lead up. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Richie in Queens, we appreciate it. 888-957-9570.
But I am done watching Russell Wilson play football. That is for sure.
So is Chris Jones. I don't know if you guys saw it after the game as we're going around the NFL real quick. Niners 3-0. But they asked Chris Jones after the game yesterday because I guess Chris Jones wanted the jersey swap with Russ. And the sideline reporter, her name escapes me right now, apologies. But she was like, hey, you still want to swap jerseys, Chris, with Russell Wilson? He's like,
to do a jersey swap, and you've never gotten one. Did you ask him again tonight?
I don't even want it. It's all good. I don't want it. Hey, you know, over time, you kind of understand that now I don't even want it. It's love and war.
I don't even want it. I'm good.
4 years ago, I wanted it, but now he's played himself out of the Hall of Fame. I don't want it.
I think he's legitimately, like, we were on this early, more so than anyone else, and I will pat ourselves on the back. We were both, you and I lost it. I think he's out of the Hall of Fame, Russ. He's not a Hall of Famer. His second arc of his career is that awful. Truly.
I mean, he's played on how many teams? Broncos, Steelers. Now the Giants. And he'll be a Jet at some point.
Hey, who knows? I mean,
he'll be on the Jags.
Who knows? Maybe hopefully this Mac Jones injury isn't concerning. Maybe he's the Niners backup at one point, the emergency third quarterback.
And Jackson Dart wearing the chain on the sideline. Did you see the chain that he had on?
It's pretty sick. I love it. Hey, he's got swag. He's got the hair and everything. Talking about swag with Ricky Pearsall, Jackson Dart's got some swag. You know who else got swag? Coach in Los Altos.
What's up, Coach?
Gentlemen, Victory Monday, baby. Victory Monday. So Shasky, first of all, yesterday I was there and I like a ding dong, I let my buddy convince me to sell my season tickets, which are on the A side, because he wanted to see the Niners run out.
Oh my God.
So ended up being over there, like row 11, great seat, 50-yard line, baking our butts off.
Dude,
it was so stinking hot, you know, and we had a couple of people wearing Packer jerseys and they were inside because they were literally melting. They were like puddles on the floor. These poor people from Wisconsin, I felt for them. But hey, I just wanted to say, I love this rookie class. Like, I don't know how they did it, but they got, not only did they get dogs, I think these guys are high character players. I think they're picking each other up. It's great to hear how articulate and thoughtful they are at the microphone. I mean, I love me some Upton Stout. Like, I love that guy.
I do too.
He makes a mistake and then he comes back and he fights through it. So I just think, and it fits the adage, the old adage, that success comes when opportunity and preparedness meet. And these guys work hard. They're prepared for the moment and they're doing it. I tweeted this out a little while ago. I said, you know, watching Collins and Mykel Williams, it's a little bit like Buckner Armistead, or it's a little bit like,
what about this one?
Dana Field.
It's Stubblefield and Bryant Young, younger, like totally different versions. But remember those two youngsters coming together?
Absolutely. And I'm getting that vibe. Now, we're not going to go, I don't think, as far, because I think what people are misreading on the Bosa thing is Bosa commands double teams, and he commands so much attention, and they game plan that makes it easier on everybody else. If he's gone, and now they're going to quote-unquote game plan for Mykel or Huff or whatever, it's just a different that is such a huge loss. So prayer goes to Nick Bosa.
Hey Coach, before you go, how long have you been going to Niner games?
Back since Joe Montana. Like I love it. You were talking about Freddie Solomon and Gene Wash. I'm 61,
okay.
So I've been doing this since early Candlestick.
So you're about my dad was probably 5 to 10 years older than you. But like, and look, only people that have been going to games would understand what I'm saying. So it's going to come off a way, and people are going to interpret it wrong. I'm not saying I'm not grateful for the stadium. I absolutely am. But the fabric of the fan base and the team has changed so dramatically in that heat for 3 months of the season. It's just so different. And I cannot get over how poorly designed that stadium was in terms of shielding the fan base and the team from the heat. The mist and the fog that you used to play in, that presented its own elements. And I know a lot of people didn't like the location and whatever. But like, I don't think people understand the way they play and the way they prepare and how the games like go down for the players and the fans. It's such a different experience. I saw the new Jumbotrons and I say to myself, yeah, we spent $300 million in the wrong direction. We should have put shade. Like, I'm sorry. Yesterday was ridiculous. It wasn't even 90 degrees yesterday and it felt like the sun was on my face.
Yeah, no, I definitely 100% agree that the peak, if you've ever walked down, I know you have, but if anybody on the phone, if you've ever walked down on Candlestick, your foot sunk into it. It was a bog.
Exactly.
It was the locker room was just sort of mildewy. I mean, it was just old school, nasty football stuff. You're now down in, you know, like Cisco headquarters in Levi's. It's high tech. It's gloss. I love the clubs, but you end up spending your time in there, not out on the football. So they gotta fix the shade side. In fact, I looked at pricing; it's half price on the sun side.
Really?
Because it's so miserable. It's half.
I know.
For the same row, it was half. So they've got to fix it, and there's ways they can do it. They can put retractable sun roof over that. They've got to do something because it was,
I look like
Adonis. I'm this tan bronze dude now, but that's not why I go to football games.
And I'm with you.
Thanks,
I'm with
Coach.
You. And look, I know, like, they won the game. I don't want to sit here and complain, but I'm telling you, like, they just spent $300 million on these Jumbotrons, and I'm sure the NFL was like, you need to upgrade your Jumbotrons to have a Super Bowl or whatever. Like, dude, we're coming up on over 10 years of this stadium.
Yeah.
They got to fix the sun thing. Like, if you're going to stay there, all right, like, I'm happy you're in the Bay Area. I'm very grateful. But if you're going to stay there, like, we can't have 2 months of the season. Your coach is choosing uniforms based on the heat. Think about what I just said. Your coach is choosing uniforms in April. That is a talking point. What color uniforms we're wearing because of how hot it is, all right? And I'm not saying that the heat doesn't exist on the East Coast and in other elements. I am telling you, the way the stadium sits in relation to the sun for 2 months of the season, it's an element for your high-paying, devoted customers, and they got to fix it. Like, they legitimately have got to fix it.
They're the only team now on the West Coast outside of the Pacific Northwest that doesn't play in a dome in the NFL. That there is something
minute,
to be said about that.
Say that again.
So they're the only team outside of the Seahawks on the West Coast. You know, if you want to invest,
I guess the Broncos,
Arizona, the Broncos to an extent, but they're building a new stadium.
That's true.
So like they're gun not
That's true.
So they're again like it.
They don't need a dome though.
They just need shade on one side. Well, they just need what the Hard Rock Stadium did in Miami. They just built a shade
100%.
Over there.
That's like a canopy opening. Yes,
canopy.
I totally agree.
That's exactly what they need to do.
I know like the majority of people are consuming the game at home. Okay, this is about a small fraction of the people, but I'm telling you, the way the team plays football is affected by the weather. It is. Like, I watched Arizona, their red uniform looked burgundy from all the sweat.
No, it did.
Did it not? Was that the only one?
I think it had an effect towards the end of that game.
Absolutely.
It had to. That was a physical game from start to finish, and that had to have wear down the opposition later in that game. The roof at Hard Rock. So good job. It's great producing from Sam Lubman in the back.
I know this is a silly thing on the radio. People are like, Shasky, not everyone goes. I get it. But, like, I'm watching my team play a different brand of football because of the weather. Like, they've got to adjust the stadium.
Well, Joe, let's play this out. The Super Bowl is going to be there. You like, as we've seen seasons change a little bit and warmer temperatures in the wintertime, there's absolutely a possibility in February you just get a hot day in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some complaining about that in the Super Bowl. That is what you don't want if you're Jed York and company. The roof at Hard Rock Stadium, when they installed it, cost $550 million.
I mean, we're looking at a $1 billion fix.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that point, you start thinking about a brand new stadium.
At that point, but...
Well, I mean, there are, like, the stadium is 10 years in. How long are they going to be there?
Mm. Well, are they going to pull, what is it, like an Atlanta Braves where they build one and after like 25 years? It's so hard in California is what I'm saying, especially a football stadium.
No doubt. But I also think when they built the stadium, let's go back to... You know, the early OOs, like, everyone's like, there's no room in San Francisco. There's no room. And they were right until COVID hit, and now there's room everywhere. nobody goes to work in offices like that anymore. So I don't know. I think the happy medium would be somewhere in between San Francisco and where the stadium exists currently. It's just so hot.
And we'll see how it is this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Another team that actually plays outside. I don't think they have a roof in Jacksonville. They probably play in the heat a lot as well. And they're supposed to be getting a new stadium. All these teams that are dealing with the elements are addressing it. The Buffalo Bills, same thing. Now, it's not quite a dome, but they're having the overarching hanging over all the stands. And they've been playing in that place, what, Highmark Stadium, whatever it's called, like 60-plus years. Every other team is addressing it.
No doubt. Like, and so, and again, like yesterday was like mid-80s. Yeah. And it felt in the 90s. And so I'm saying, like, okay, wait till, because at some point in the next couple of weeks, they're going to have a day home game that's going to be in the 90s.
Yep.
It's going to feel like 100. Last year when they played Arizona,
it was 100 degrees.
Which at that stadium, where it's at, if you ever played like in these baseball tournaments there at Twin Creeks, it is literally 10 to 15 degrees hotter than whatever it says on your phone.
So I'm pulling up the Levi's Stadium weather.
I know
right
this
now.
Sounds insane, but team was gassed yesterday.
Well, tomorrow it's gonna. Thank God they don't have Tuesday night football tomorrow or Tuesday football.
What's it gonna be?
92 degrees tomorrow in Santa Clara, so that's nice. So feels like 100 on the field. Sunday we're looking at again. This is the weekly forecast, so things can change. But Sunday we're looking at again 75 degrees. So
no, that's not bad at all.
That's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all. But like when your coach is choosing to wear white tops and gold bottoms for the first time in franchise history, come on, guys. It's a great thing that they kept the team here. They've paid for all the players, everything. But, you know, you got to treat your fan base and the roster. You got to treat them right. You got to figure out how to put a shade in there. I don't know what the solution. Now, Hard Rock, they did it around the whole stadium.
Yes.
Maybe, even though it's years later, maybe it could cost similar on only one side of it. You don't need it on the press box side.
Well, and Hard Rock also did that because they realize they are an event place as well.
100%.
They want to be in the Super Bowl Rolodex, if you will. 100%. Same with New Orleans, same with Vegas, same with SoFi Stadium. They are competing with all these other teams because they want all those eyeballs every couple seasons. So,
you don't get that fog blowing in the evening, which is like that cool air that you need. It's just, it's totally different.
I want to get back into something the coach had to say in Los Altos, because he said something which I actually don't agree with. He said if they lose Nick Bosa for an extended period of time, he doesn't think they could overcome it. I disagree. I think they can. Now, is it going to be difficult? Could it result in some losses? Absolutely. But I've seen enough from this team getting better every week, Joe, that I have all the faith in the world in Robert Saleh, in Kyle Shanahan, these coaches, they are doing something right now that, listen, I don't want to toss around the word special. It's 3 weeks into this season. But the way that they have fought through adversity, it's inspiring early on here. Like,
would you agree, though, each week after the other teams are allowed opportunities to game plan and they get a little better at exposing? So, like, for example, Kittle goes out in the middle of the Seahawks game. You kind of figured it out with Farrell and Tonjes. But each week since then, they've been less effective.
Correct, but people have been stepping up outside of them.
Sure.
Like the Kendrick Bournes in the receiving game stepping up. Ricky Pearsall, he's just been stepping up every single week.
But the offense is more constipated.
Yes.
All right, as we've gone farther. This is now the second week with Mac Jones. I think this week was a little more difficult for Mac than weeks prior because of some of the guys, because of the scheme, because they know where he's going to throw. So, like, George Kittle's absence, I feel like we're going to really feel it over the next 2 weeks.
But, again, and it's a good point, from the defensive perspective, with Nick Bosa potentially being out for an extended period of time, again, we're waiting on any and all news about that. We'll get it to you when it is provided. But I saw Fred Warner, again, doing what he does. He's so freaking good.
No, he's amazing. He blew up a play. Shanahan, by the way,
is so good.
Shanahan, it's not at 11:30. I guess Grandy is texting me.
Grandy, man.
Shanahan's conference call for today is set up at 3:30 p.m.
Oh, okay, so
Willard and Dibs will have that 3:30 p.m.
Okay, great. Fred Warner stepped up yesterday. D. Winners has been stepping up.
He's been amazing. He's probably been the most improved player on the roster.
Yes. Bryce Huff might have been the most surprising player on the team thus far when you weren't expecting a whole hell of a lot from him. It was like, hey, if we get something from him, it only costs us, a fifth or sixth round pick? We'll see. He made some sweet music with Robert Saleh in New York. Maybe he could do it again. Right now, he's proven to be right about that. He's made some plays. Upton Stout made some plays in the secondary. Our guy Michael Williams making plays. God, I love Michael Williams. Funny guy too. He's got some swagger to him. Listening to him in the post game, he's playing with confidence. Joe, this team, it felt like, was so unsure of themselves defensively last year that a lot of the young guys that they were relying on were afraid to make mistakes, or the veterans themselves just looked old. And like they ripped the band-aid off.
A lot of old guys.
A lot of old guys on that team. And this isn't like, I'm not seeing a slow team. I'm seeing a physical team that's fast. And yesterday they over pursued a little bit at times. They need to be able to play a little bit under control, but they'll improve every week. So yes, this team might be without Nick Bosa going forward, but I'm not throwing dirt on this entire defensive staff. Not at all. Robert Saleh back there. They got to get creative. Absolutely. And guys are going to have to continue to step up.
If it's a couple weeks, they can do it, Joe.
Yes.
It's like, if you're talking 6 to 8 weeks, I think we're in big trouble.
It's tough.
Right?
Yes.
Like 6 to 8 weeks, you're in big trouble. Can you, like, weather the storm? That's why the three wins at the beginning of the year were so important. You can weather the storm. Like, in this hypothetical, it's 8 weeks, and they go 4-4 over that 8 weeks. Well, now you're 7-4. It's pretty freaking good. You're still in line for a playoff spot.
Yep.
I think 10 is, you're right there. I think 11 guarantees you a playoff spot. Wins. I'm talking about wins.
Speaking of Nick Bosa, this is what Kyle Shanahan, the head coach, had to say yesterday about the concern.
I'm sure he's concerned, and just knowing how he would be, and hopefully we'll have some good news tomorrow.
To clarify, they ruled out an ACL?
They haven't ruled it out. No, we're not sure. I mean, there is concern because of how he feels, and, but they do the tests and stuff on the sideline. When usually they say whether he definitely did or not, and they didn't say that. But we are concerned with that, and keeping our fingers crossed for the.
I'm interpreting that as they said that it was, like, they didn't say it was an ACL injury.
They didn't say it was, but they're not ruling it out.
Exactly,
yes.
Which is probably the pragmatic thing to do right now, especially given all the injuries that they've been occurring. Monday's been the most dangerous day of the year.
I mean, I see guys just leaving left and right. Again, I think we do this and we kind of like jump our skis a little bit. There's always a lot of injuries that happen in the NFL, and we always say, this is the most we've ever seen. No, it happens every single year. It's just a violent football game. And, I saw it yesterday. I mean, Najee Harris just went down on a routine, just handoff, just fell, Achilles. He's done.
Is that what happened to him?
Achilles injury. Yeah. Brutal. Just brutal.
What a 6 months he's had.
I know. And this is what
sad. James Conner, I'd be shocked if James Conner takes another carry in the league.
I mean,
his ankle was sideways.
These are three of the top running backs, or at least names. I know Najee's not the number one technical on the team. It's Omar Ann Hampton, the rookie that they drafted. But Austin Eckler last week, right?
Yeah.
Thursday night. This week, Najee Harris. And then, as you just mentioned, James Conner, just brutal to watch. And the entire Cardinals sideline coming out to, support their guy who's been a leader on that team. And then I thought it was very classy. The Niners that were out there on defense, Fred Warner, just kind of like patting him on the shoulder, being like just being a good, competitor. And that's what makes Fred Fred and makes him a great ambassador for the game. This is what Ian Rapoport had to say this morning, NFL Network, on the latest from Nick Bosa.
The San Francisco 49ers, the 3-0 San Francisco 49ers, another kind of wild win yesterday. Nick Bosa, their star defensive end, left the game early with a knee injury. Kyle Shanahan saying after the game, they do not believe it is an ACL injury. That is a good sign. They're going to check everything in that knee, going to have an MRI. I believe that is going to be today. Any absence for Nick Bosa on the stellar defense it would certainly be something that would hurt the 49ers.
And the only little piece of news there is having the MRI today after they, and you've mentioned it, in all these places, whether it's the Warriors, Niners, you know, Sharks, they all these places have MRIs in their own facilities. They just want to double down on it, double check, triple check, and we'll see the severity of the injury. And hopefully it is not severe, because this is a guy that has been playing incredible the first few weeks, yo. He's just been playing with his hair on fire. He was looking like a DPOY candidate.
At one point up on the Jumbotron, they put questionable Nick Bosa, questionable return, Nick Bosa out, knee. Mm. And then they put, questionable return out right now, Mykal Williams.
Yeah.
Wrist. And it was like, oh my God, we're losing two defensive linemen? And somehow, some way, within that game, they held serve, and then Mykal came back. And is it Mykal or Mykal?
Mykal. Mykal.
Mykal, not Mykal.
Mykal, not your Kel or his Kel. Mykal.
Well, my buddy's son is Mihal.
Mihal?
Yeah, it's Irish.
Oh, Mihal, not Miguel.
No.
Okay. Look at this. We're Michael's ever. I have a brother named Mikey.
Mihal.
There you go. Mikey Spadoni, the great. I think he's coming into town next week from Oregon. There you go. Here's Shanahan talking about yesterday, you know, the team stepping up big, and specifically the guy we've been talking about all morning, Slick Rick Pearsall.
This is how Ricky's been for a while. We felt it towards the end of last year. He's been this way all through training camp, and it's one of the reasons we wanted to draft him here, and hasn't disappointed us at all. So he stepped it up big, and you got to do that even more when you have guys out like JJ and guys like George.
And here's the quarterback who's built the Jones to Pearsall connection has been special the last few weeks. Here's Mac talking about him and saying he's just open a lot.
Yeah, it was my alert on the play. And we don't really throw it that often, so it was just a great catch. He, I don't know how he caught that, but it was a great play, and he did a great job in the game. He was open a lot. I could have hit him even more, so I'll watch the tape and see how I can get him the ball more, but Ricky did a great job.
He was open a lot, and that is what you want to hear from your receiver. Not only is he open a lot, you're getting him the ball, because it's one thing to be open, it's another thing to execute it, because we saw that on the opposing sideline yesterday, Joe. Yeah, Marvin Harrison was open. What'd he do when he was open? Butterfingers. Dropped it. Or he was running the wrong routes, and there was miscommunication with his quarterback, Kyler Murray, who was, again, frustrated all day, and it was more so not what the 49ers defense was doing, even though they did a hell of a job. It was his own offense just not knowing what to do, and that's, you're alluding to the loss of James Conner. That was a big part of that. It's kind of a trickle-down effect.
Yeah. So going back to last year, Ricky Pearsall, to end last year, he had 16 catches for 281 yards 18 catches for 247 yards to end last year.
Mm.
This year he's got 16 for 281. His last six games total. That's a third of the season, if you will. 34 catches, 528 yards. That breaks down to 101 catches and over 1,600 yards for a season.
It's pretty incredible.
So think about that. That's the pace he's been on. The last six games is 100 catch season, 1,600 yards. That would be better than any 49er wide receiver season in the Shanahan era. We haven't done anything like that since T.O.
His yards per reception, Joe, 17.6, which is fifth in all of football. He's had an incredible year thus far. He's third overall in receiving, as I mentioned. The only two above him, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Puka Nacua, again, all in the NFC West, which is... Now it feels like a loaded division when it comes to the wide receiver position. You got Malik Nabers right behind him. He is amongst the biggest names in the sport.
I told you the number for Brandon Ayuk, who had a monster year, 2023, with CMC and Debo and Kittle. He got targeted one time, more than 10 times. One time, and it was exactly 10. Ricky's had that happen twice now in six games, to the last six for him. To be targeted more than 10 times. So I think there's a couple of things going on here. Ricky's clearly a trusted agent with the quarterbacks. I think Kyle loves him, and I think he's a great player. And, not good, he's a great player right now.
And that is something that we don't take for granted, because we know it is very difficult. As a wide receiver in this offense, Kyle Shanahan has high standards. He also has high standards for Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Yeah, from my boy Rocco. The current Chiefs are the Spurs of football. Just great so comp. Boring.
That's such a great comp. No, seriously. Joe, I love football. I love it. The fact that I saw the Kansas City Chiefs, one of the greatest teams of our time, one of the greatest quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes. Are you okay with me saying that, by the way, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time?
Well, yeah, because he's played almost 10 years.
Great. All right, so Patrick Mahomes. The fact that I even looked at that game and said, nah, I'd rather watch the newest Batman with Robert Pattinson tells you all you need to know about how I feel about watching them. It was great. I loved it. The little teaser at the end with the Joker. Spoiler alert. That was fun. That was
more cool. Emo Batman.
It was a little more gritty and grimy, but
angsty.
I liked that.
Angsty is the word.
Angst.
What?
He's full of angst.
Well, it's because he's a younger version of Bruce Wayne. I like my guy who plays Gollum. What's his name? Andy Serkis? Yeah, he's Alfred. I like that. That was a good casting choice. And Zoe Kravitz is Catwoman. Pretty strong. Still Michelle Pfeiffer for me, number one. But Zoe Kravitz, slightly in the second place there. Was not Anne Hathaway. Yeah. What do you think, Cardi?
Yeah, I have no thoughts on that at all.
Thank you.
My final thought of the day is I want to shout out Mykal Williams. He had the most pressures yesterday on the team with six, and this is just great to see. I mean, finally we're getting some support on the defensive line. It's just, it's wonderful as a Niners fan.
And they're going to need him a lot more going forward, potentially, with this Bosa injury. It's going to be massive. Again, I'm not throwing dirt on this team if Nick Bosa has to miss some time. I have a lot of respect for what this team has shown early on in the season. They're going to have to fight through adversity. But if the offense can fight through adversity, losing their quarterback and their tight end, why can't the defense do it, Sammy?
I don't know. Why can't the defense do it? It's probably because of Mykal Williams, Fred Warner, D. Winters. My final thought, though, was how about those Sharks last night, huh? Open up the preseason with a win? Yeah, no one cares about that. But shout-out Trevor McDonald and the Giants for salvaging a meaningless win against the Dodgers. McDonald, his first-ever big league start, strikes out Shohei Ohtani twice. It's pretty good, I guess.
That is pretty good. And will we see Brock Purdy at all this week? That's going to be something we'll monitor. Mac Jones, PCL injury. And again, we are awaiting the latest news when it comes to Nick Bosa. My final thought is, the NFL is just the best. I love it so much. It's like those early games were insane. The blocked field goals for the touchdown. Like, is there anything that's better than to win a game like that? And for it to be one of the fat guys, the big boys, the Jordan Davises. You see what his MPH was? Jordan Davis is what, like 375 pounds? He got up to like 19 miles an hour? That is scary.
I actually think there is a better way. And it's the only way. It's the way Candlestick ended. It's the pick six.
Pick six? Okay.
Come on, man. It's the greatest play of all.
That was one of the best witching hours we've had. Seriously.
Yesterday was insane.
I wouldn't know. I was at the stadium with the Commoners.
Do they not at the stadium? They're not put on the red zone? They should.
No, not leading up to the game.
Well, they do.
There you go. You have to be in the suite.
Yeah, Carter was able to see it.
You got to be in the suite, Joe. He got you. That was Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity. Introducing the 5-year price guarantee. One consistent internet price for the next 5 years. Guaranteed. And I guarantee you, Steiny's in a good mood, but I don't know about Goo after his Cowboys took the L yesterday. Yet again, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here
Grandpa
for you.
Grandpa Goo.
Here for good.